Is the time and place advertised for our annual Board of Correction meeting. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Here.
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And so we are at item number one is introduction. So an introductory memo from Mike Borzyk.
Could you show Mike so he can do it next time?
Don't forget. Mike Borzyk, 504 Mid Pine for the record. It's our annual Board of Correction meeting for the to correct any errors in our irrigation assessment for the pressurized and gravity irrigation roll. This year, I think we actually did a good job compared to some years. We had a couple address errors that...
He's honest.
Yeah. We had a couple small address errors that were actually Ada County had changed some addresses, so nothing there on our part. And then there was a utility bill that wasn't finalized 6 years ago, so there was a slight error there, and that gentleman was taken care of properly. But other than that, in your memo, you'll notice we have a couple outstanding delinquents out there. They generally will pay before June 30th, but they always hang out there to the last minute. We have no tax deeds. Our level pay for irrigation that was implemented 4 or 5 years ago seems to be working where we level pay the irrigation water for the calendar year over 10 months, and then use the leverage of shutting off your water for non-payment. That seems to be working very well. Our water supply balance, probably a few different ways we could all read this. Our town is growing here, and we've added a few pumps and ponds. And trying to dial those in this year, I think there was a few struggles out there. So you'll notice there's a little more water wasted. What do we have? Patagonia, Ardell. I want to say there was another one out there that just the guys having to try to get tuned in on it. But don't take that as not being able to run a system. I think our acre feet delivered for pressurized irrigation lots seem to raise up a little bit more over last year. I don't know how you read that one. We had 5,438 PI connections. On average, we delivered 0.65 acre feet to a lot. Average lot we consider is 10,000 square feet with 3,000 square feet of impervious house, driveway, things of that nature. So the rest of the lot had 0.65 feet delivered to it. And we somehow wasted 0.26 irrigation breaks and again trying to dial in a couple pump stations. The Boise Cuna, New York and Nampa Meridian irrigation districts, we've added 200 acres of water over the last couple of years. Seem to be, we carried over 750 acre feet, so we should get about 500 acre feet of that back this spring. Water is at 125% in the mountains. Reservoirs are at 50%. I don't know where that's going to leave us, but that's it. That's where I stand. I'll stand for questions.
Okay. Questions for Mike. So, yeah, I just attended a meeting yesterday with the Ada City County Emergency Management, and we were actually looking at their teacup levels in all the dams and all that, and it looks like we are right on track for where water should be. We actually started spiking, so they let a little more out, and now we're back online. So it looks like it's going to be a good year for irrigation. So
there was a HR1 bill. Is that correct, Bill, about irrigation and how allotment is set and what is taken? Do you know anything about that?
No, I can't tell you. Do you mean currently before the legislature?
It was signed a couple months ago, and how?
Yeah, this had to do, I think, with the junior and senior, Bill Gay-Gray, city attorney. Thank you. Sorry. I was going to get kicked if I didn't do that. It's my own advice, which even hurts more. As I understand it, if I'm tracking with your question, there was, a dispute between what are junior and senior water users' rights over the storage in Air Rock and in Lucky Peak and Anderson Ranch Dam. And there was an agreement reached at one point because of the need to keep those dams below total capacity because of runoff issues associated. So there, they released water in the spring, which was not usable for irrigation purposes. And so the junior water rights users, which were, I think, primarily represented by Suez, were arguing and had gotten the state to agree with them that that water that was released was senior water rights, and that that the junior water rights were not, that none of that release was junior water rights, which reduced the senior water rights use. And the senior water rights users, which were mainly in western part of the valley, Canyon County and Phyllis Canal and some of the rest, were not happy with that. And I think the state kind of went along with that. Then they brought an action. It went to the Supreme Court. It was ready for oral argument, and then they reached a settlement agreement, which was a kind of a compromise with regards to that, those water rights. And I believe that required legislation, and I think that's what that was about.
Yeah, and it was something affecting on how, that spring runoff and how that counts against your allotment, and that's my only question.
But you get yours from CUNA, Boise CUNA, right?
Is New York and Napa Marie.
Okay. And so it depend on whether they're senior or junior water rights users as with regards to that settlement. But there is a settlement agreement, and that legislation was designed to implement it.
Maybe I can circle around with you on that one. Where do I go from there?
I have a question for you.
Sure.
So I'm not a math major, so I could be reading this wrong.
All right.
But it looks like in looking at canal water delivered, it looks like we delivered a decent amount more in 2017 than 2018, but that we also included a lot less potable water in 2017 than 18, and that we wasted less water in 17 than 18. So what were some of the big things you think that contributed to us needing to add so much more potable water, and then that made our waste rate seemingly go quite a bit higher?
So the big jump on the potable water from 17 to 18, there's 111 million gallons used at the Butler well. And that well is an old well, I'm going to get the number wrong, well four, that tastes like goats. So we pumped that into the pressurized system to offset pressure at peak times. I struggle a little bit on that one too, of why that one was running so much. I don't know if that was early in the year when they were trying to flush it out. I don't have a good answer for that one.
Okay. Can we just keep an eye on it and see?
Oh, certainly.
Okay. Perfect. And then, it seems like we wasted a lot more water last year, like not quite double, but getting close.
And some of that, again, I don't want to give the representation that our guys aren't doing their job. You got to remember on that wasting, so if we're calling in 50 inches, that 50 inches is coming over that weir 24/7 until we tell it to stop. So, again, we have a lot of users. I just heard it, a lot of users, California and whatnot. everybody wants to water at 2 in the morning. If we have 6,000 users and they all water at 2 in the morning, the water from 10 in the morning till 10 at night is going over that weir and we're wasting it. We need to slowly have a campaign to get more people, the schools, the big HOAs, the churches, those folks need to start watering during the day. We need more just people like us watering during the day so that we're using, so our diurnal curve slowly levels out a little bit, mm-hmm. but we're not burning up all that water all night and our pumps are lagging at night.
Yeah.
We need to use some off-duty time.
Do you feel like we were doing a better job of that or had better participation in that in 2017, or was there anything else that we were doing better in 2017 that we can continue to suggest?
I don't know.
Okay. It's just such a big jump in the amount of water waste. I mean, I know that people, yeah, have a preference for going overnight, and I think we could do a better job with trying to explain, like, you could water for twice as long during the day, and you're going to get the same, like, because of the amount of water, and it's probably going to do better for you because everybody waters at night, so your water pressure sucks too. And so, yeah, maybe we can think about if – I know, what year was it? I'm trying to remember. 2013, 14, when we shut off irrigation in August, mm-hmm. that really, really low water year. I think, I'm trying to remember if that was the year that we were really good about communicating with subdivisions and, like, we're asking, like, anybody with an odd address, water on odd days. Anybody with an even address, water on even days and that sort of thing. So maybe we could try to... I don't know if that would be through your department or if it would just go out with utility bills or what, but if we could suggest stuff like that again.
There is a city code that does mandate even and odd. The biggest problem is that irrigation control is in your garage, and every Sunday you would have to go out there and recorrect it.
Oh, that's true.
Go even and odd. And for whatever reason, irrigation calculators are set for Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you can watch it on the curves. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they peak, and Tuesday and Thursday, we're wasting.
I wonder if, I'm trying to think. Well, if you have any suggestions, you don't have to share them right now, but we could, like, follow up on it afterwards. But, any way that we could phrase that instruction, I don't know if it's as simple as, like, pay attention to when your neighbors water and pick the opposite day kind of a thing, because I know, like, in my subdivision, when my neighbors water, they water so heavily that, like, I don't want to water on the same day because my yard's already getting enough.
It's getting overflow.
Yeah. But, you know, anyway, so if you have any suggestions, especially about maybe how we should change the code if it already requires something that's, like, not enforced and, frankly, pretty hard to enforce, if there's a different way that, you know, we should modify that or whatever. I mean, I know we changed, like, the wanton wasting language a couple years ago, and I think that was helpful, so... Any other suggestions? Not to put you on the spot. You don't have to suggest them right now, but as you think about it, if you want to loop back and let us know if there's anything else we can do to try to help with the wasting problem and then also just more efficient use and not setting people up for breaking the law.
It is deceivious, too, if you know the math, because I farm and I do. 50 inches of water he spoke of, if you just let that run 24 hours, like I would into one of my fields, that's actually 648,000 gallons of water. So when we're talking in terms of a couple million gallons of water, I mean, it sounds and looks huge on paper, but in reality, it's...
325,000 gallons in an acre. So, you're going to be wasting a 10-acre feed or something like that.
Yeah, it looks worse on paper than what it really is. I mean, and it's hard to dial those pumps in. And
it is.
Although 64% efficiency
seems
like we should be able to do
and
better.
We are correcting Sutter's Mill. We're digging that out right now. Okay. That pump is notoriously in the 50s and 60% efficiency. The pond wasn't built like it was designed, and Bob's got a CIP project right now on that. We're digging that out. And I think you're going to see that pump and pond go up into the 80 percentile, so that's going to help a lot of this.
Cool. Okay. Thank you.
Very good.
We have no scheduled or unscheduled protests. Not you, sir? All right. Then think that's it. It's the end of my papers.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mayor and the council, I don't know exactly, I haven't researched the ordinance to know, but I know in other jurisdictions where we have municipal irrigation systems, we have a water master, and they can set an irrigation schedule, which has to be followed. So if that's necessary and it's directly related to the ability of our system to deliver water as well as the amount of water we have, I think we can use tools to put something together based on what Public Works wants to do.
Bob. Mayor and Council, I want to first thank Mike. He did a good job on that. And I do think a lot of it had to do with a new pond coming on and the problems we had at Setter's Mill. And we also plan on, when the new website's up, to on the Public Works blurb on that, to have something on there making recommendations, watering schedules and that sort of stuff. If your yard's watering and the gutter's growing because all the water's running down the gutter, maybe you can shut it off. Those kind of things, but we are going to make some efforts to try to monitor that a little bit better and be ahead of it instead of reacting. So, but I do think a lot of it had to do with the new Ardell pond is what 500,000 gallons. I know we had a problem or two with that, so I think it had more to do with the growth of the system, maybe than we're hoping so anyway. So.
So I think there might be value in, I mean, I completely agree with putting stuff on the website, and I appreciate that. I wonder if it would be worthwhile to communicate with subdivisions again, because I feel like that helped with getting the word out in multiple avenues. But I think the key is, like, figuring out what we want to tell them in terms of, like, is it just water on opposite day than your neighbor, or is it, like, also time stuff, whatever. I feel like we got really lucky in February that we got so much water and that wasn't expected at all. Like, we were shaping up for another really bad water year. And so I know it's only a matter of time before we hit one of those again where we have to shut it off 2 months early. And so I wonder if there's any other, I mean, you were saying, like, keeping an eye, like, trying to address it earlier, whatever. Do you think there'd be any value in doing something where we have, like, some sort of little communication tool in the trucks and stuff, and as you guys drive around, like, if you are seeing, if you can figure out what house is contributing to the gutters being full through the whole subdivision or whatever, that we'd be able, like, it could be, we can make them, like, amusingly themed or something that we think will be well received, but, like, little water usage tips based on whatever thing we're seeing there. Or, like, you drive through and a yard is running and you drive back through 2 hours later and that same yard is still going, you know. So kind of the different things, you're watering for too long, your sprinklers are hitting the sidewalk and into the street, like, you can adjust that. Different things like that that we could just put on the door or something. I mean, if you guys want to knock and say something, but it could just be, like, a funny little thing that maybe because it's funny, people would talk about it in a more positive way than feeling like we're, you know, cramping down on them or something. But do you think anything like that would be helpful too?
I do think we can look at some ideas on that. Another thing that might help, if we can, we got about a month or so before PI season, maybe we can do a educational press release ahead of time and get it out there as much as possible and just remind them of the things that basically everything you're saying and see if we can get some information out before it's July and 110 out.
I want to make sure you guys feel empowered to like, be creative, too. Like, if you felt like for some reason you were inspired to create, like, a goofy video or something that we would get, like, a little virality from that people would be, like, excited to share because it's goofy but it's still educational. Like, whatever, just anything that you think would be helpful, because this is a battle we fight every year, and it seems like no matter how much education we do, like, we still have people that water every single day for 30 minutes a zone in the middle of the night, and none of that's necessary. And we live in a desert. And I like I said, it's only a matter of time before we have another really bad dry year. And then everybody's, you know, pissed that their lawns are dying. But if you can practice the right type of lawn maintenance where you're training your lawn to not need as much water, then your lawn will stay green, even if we have to turn it off early. So.
Maybe I see Chris looked like she had grant figures in her head going on there.
Maybe we can get our economic development director to make us a video for educational purposes.
Yeah, whatever. I want you to, if you want to be creative and goofy and stuff, like, I'm fine with trying a bunch of different ways of, you know, press releases and reaching out to HOAs and silly viral stuff and whatever. Sure. Whatever might get the job done.
We will we'll put some ideas together and we'll try to stay ahead of it and make some improvements.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I had an idea. Don't wet on your neighbor.
From the city attorney.
I think we just had a volunteer for the video.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got it. All right. What do we need to do here on approving the assessment roll?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
Is that just accepting this report? Or?
Yeah, you could accept the report. You would make it clear that the assessment books will be approved and that there have been no adjustments or corrections by the Board of Corrections. I'm not aware that you made any. If there are some, then you approve those. Aren't any?
That doesn't sound like it. So am I correct then that aside from approving the assessment roll, we also still need to have a discussion on how to properly charge newly platted lots?
It's on the agenda, and you can discuss it. It's not really part of the Board of Corrections necessarily, but it's on the agenda, and it's been posted, so you can discuss it.
Okay.
So I would say that since we did make no adjustments to the assessment roll, that it probably would be
appropriate to approve it.
Appropriate to approve it.
I move we approve the assessment roll.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the assessment roll. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And unless we want to have any.
Since we have like 8 or 9 minutes, do we want to at least get information about the. So, as I understand the issue based on how it's written, we have newly platted lots that. In the spring, weren't on the assessment roll, but the mother account was correctly placed on the assessment roll in the fall prior to final plat, and the water was paid in full by the developer in the fall prior to the irrigation season. So what's the issue then with, what are we trying to fix?
So we took Greg's farm and we made it into 100 lots. Mr. McPherson paid for his water in the fall for the 40 acres. Now we made 100 lots in there. They still have the underlying waters paid for. However, the maintenance of the pipes, the pressurizing of the water, the maintenance of the pumps, all that stuff is not paid for. In the resolution, it seems ambiguous on how we want that prorated and charged. Currently, we are not charging. I thought the intent back in the started was to somehow give credit for the water that was paid, but then do a prorating for the maintenance of the pumps and people going out there. And that is not maybe how the resolution, and it's, you can read it 3 different ways. So
when does it normally switch over then? So like it was prepaid as a gravity lot or whatever, and then at some point, we start billing them as a pressurized irrigation. Is it the year that it gets turned on, or do you know?
So I completed this in the end of January. If that was a 40-acre parcel, it was billed as a 40-acre parcel. If you go to build a home on there now, you will not get a bill for this year.
So it's just whatever the land use was as of, for example, October 1st. And then it wouldn't get reassessed until the end of the next irrigation season. Okay.
Is that not partially what the connection fee for PI is for? Or does that not address any of that?
Mayor and Council, the connection fee is for maintenance of the system. It wouldn't address that particular area. One thing we did kick around And our office was to do more of a prorated type, you know, the house. If the roll's in January and they build a house in July, maybe we just prorate the PI for the rest of that year.
The idea being that they're technically only getting like July, August, September, yeah. October instead of the, so like half the irrigation season.
Correct. That was the one thought we had. And this might, it might maybe what the best thing to do is for us to bring some ideas back to you on that, and then we can, you know, just vet that out that way. And we have another little issue we'll probably bring back to at the same time possibly. Not an issue, but some direction from you guys. Okay. But if you'd like.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be great if you guys had recommendations, certainly, about, I mean, if you have a couple options to us to consider, I'm always eager to hear what your recommendations are based on your knowledge of how things work and, you know, what you think will work the best. My one concern that I'll throw out now so you can kind of think it over and see how it might be best addressed, as I'm sure you know, in some of those lower water years where we have had to shut it off early, the public has come in and said, well, my water should now be prorated because I only got 6 months instead of 8 months of it, or whatever. So my only concern is if we are prorating it all, is it based on what a normal season looks like and the expectation is regardless of how short the season is? Like, I just want to make sure we're really clear about situations where prorating would occur and that it's, you know, never based on the actual amount of water delivered, but rather on some other factor, just to try to clarify that so people don't feel like they're being treated differently based on how much they're using. Because I think that's one thing that contributes to the wasting is, well, I'm paying for it. I might as well get as much as I can out of it, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, so if you can just think about that and think if there's any ways that we can structure it so that we kind of avoid any of those issues.
It almost seems like the level pay system would take care of that. Once you give a certificate of occupancy, we begin them on their level pay program. And then if they wish to use the option of paying for the entire year, they can do that. We would have to prorate that. But
the level pay stops, though. It doesn't go for the full year. There's like 3 months where you don't pay it, weirdly. And it's like the summer when you're using it, yeah, but not paying for it.
I believe the level pay ends in June, so you would have still July, August, September, October out of a six-month season. 4 months are not enough.
Well, maybe we need to look at that window. I mean, I assume we did that in the wintertime just to make it easier on people. But
I mean, was there a reason we didn't go 12? Because that would make it easier in terms of, like, budgeting, right? You always have the consistent amount. Chris is raising her hand.
Chris. Sorry.
I was, and I think Michael recall this when I say that, the reason that it was done in that time frame was because that we have a certain date certain that we have to file any delinquencies.
Oh, right.
And we place a lien on the property
right.
If it's unpaid.
I remember that now.
Yep.
I would like the opportunity, though, if we could, to bring back a couple ideas, and then you guys can give us direction on them. And
sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Very good.
Thanks, Mike.
And I believe that concludes the Board of Corrections meeting.
We have 2 minutes.
Bill.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, just statutorily, I would